Good morning, family. Each time I get the opportunity to stand before the family of God, my brothers and sisters, I'm always impressed that we need to be reminded of our commitment and why God has called us to this journey. So I know a lot of you have been in this movement for a number of years. And some of you are newly born. It's always good to be reminded why God has called us into His service. This morning, I've been pressed to offer you something very delicious and appetizing. It's called a Big Mac. Has everyone heard about a Big Mac? No? Well, this is a vegan Big Mac. It's an acronym for Before I Go. Big, Before I Go. Christ gave us a commission, and it's a mission to be active in service for Him and to create change in humanity. That's the Big Mac. Before I go, this is your mission. You need to be active in your mission. And to create change within humanity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the words that you have given to me are not my words. We all sit at your feet to be educated by you. We ask that your Spirit will fill us and teach us and to lead us into all truth. We pray in Christ's blessed and most glorious name. Amen. My parents were born in Jamaica. Yes, that beautiful island in the sun. They were married for over 52 years before my dad passed in 2010. Their union created an atmosphere of love and security within our home. You see, my parents raised 4 boys and 4 girls. And as time went by, my nephew and my niece also came to live with us. So we had a very large and active household. My dad, he laid down the law within our home. Family worship. Respectful conversation and taking responsibility to perform our duties within the home. My mother was the magnet that kept everyone close and facilitated that things moved forward in an orderly manner. My mother is the voice of reason and compassion. This imprinted upon us over the years how we should conduct ourselves as siblings. Now, which is such a large household, at times siblings do get into conflict, do have disagreement. But my mom had one thing, she said, we should always respect each other. Respect, respect, respect. And there's no if, ands, or but about that. Respect, respect, respect. This became the mission of the McPherson household. Christ has given us a mission, the gift of cooperating with heavenly agency in the work for the salvation of humanity. Matthew 28:19-29, but I'm going to start reading from verse 18 at first. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. That is the commission that Christ has left for us. Remember, before I go. Why is the question? Why were we given this charge or mandate? You see, God wants to restore the world to its original purpose. He wants us to be aware of the height that we have fallen from. He wants each and every single individual possible to hear the truth, the good news. He wants us to understand the theorem of eternal, of the eternal. You see, He wants us to logically, systematically, with synergy, understand the depths of God's love for us. Patriarch and Prophet, page 595, says, "In the beginning, God created man in His own image, in His own likeness. He endowed him with noble qualities. His mind was well balanced, and all the powers of their being were in harmony." They were harmonious. But the fall and its effect have perverted these gifts. Sin has marred the well high obliterated the image of God in man. What did sin do? It obliterated the image of God in man. It was to restore this image of God in man that a plan of salvation was devised, and a life of probation was granted to man. We're in a probationary period right now. To bring him back to the perfection in which he was first created is the great object of life. This is what God wants to do for us. This object underlines every other to bring man back to the perfection of godliness. Pedro, could you change the slide for me? Thank you. This is the totality of the good news. This is the gospel, the act of redemption. To bring him back to the perfection in which he was first created. So God wants to bring him back to what? Perfection. And that perfection is the godliness, is God in man. That's what God wants us to do. That's what He's called us all here. So He can recreate His image within us. Don't we serve a wonderful God? God wants us to regain that intimate relationship with the divine. Do you remember when that relationship, when He used to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening? That relationship, that face-to-face communication, that intimate time with us. That relationship where we can recognize His small, still voice, even though the storms of life is affecting us. That relationship that was broken, that relationship so He could share the mystery of eternity with us. That's what God wants. This is the mission He's called us to. This is the mission He wants us to share with others who have not come to know God as yet. Acts 1:8 says, now, God has given us the tools to fulfill that commission. What are the tools that God has given us to fulfill this commission? Acts 1:8 says, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So I'll reframe that. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And God says, I want you to be my witness. First, starts here in the mind. To be a witness to yourself. Then, to be a witness in your home. Then, to be a witness in your churches. A witness at your job. A witness in your school. A witness in your community. That is the gospel commission that God has called us to. I've had the opportunity to work in Quebec, we call it Le Grand Nord, but it's northern Quebec with the Octotons. I worked with the Inuit population, and at this time I was working with the hospital service in the social service department. And we had one individual, beautiful soul, but suffered from anxiety, migraines, and she was always coming to the hospital for service. Now, they didn't mind taking care of her, but when this pattern becomes repetitive, almost once a week first, then twice, then three times a week, it taxes the service. So one morning in our meeting, they looked at me and they said, Peter, we think you should pay her a visit. So as I went to visit Caroline, is her name, and her husband's name is Dougie. Beautiful couple. They're still married now, but at the time when I first met them, they've been married for 42 years. Now, as I went into her home, I looked around. I saw Christian quotes, image of Christ, Bible, psalm books, hymn books. And I walked in and I started speaking with Caroline. She's giving me her background, telling me why she suffered from these migraines, these anxieties. Because as a mother, you're always concerned about your children's well-being. But at times, it physically started affecting her. So as I looked around, the Spirit of God impressed upon me to ask her, how is your faith? Now visually, I could see what her faith is. My question was, are you applying your faith? The application of it. We serve a very mighty God. We serve a God that wants to heal us. So as we spoke and talked, and I asked her, and this is unusual for social workers or human relation agents, within the context of a secular society, to pray with clients. But I was impressed. I said, Caroline, do you mind if we offer a word of prayer? Her face lit up. Yes. So we prayed. Then she asked me to read for her. So she took down a Bible. And I said, what do you want me to read? So she opened to a particular text. I read with her a bit. Now, this is my witnessing to her. And sometimes when you're witnessing, you have to kind of personalize it a bit. In their community, at times, the protocol is, the elders, they will share something with you to eat. So they had a bowl on the table. It looked like raspberries or cloudberries with yogurt in it. I don't really eat milk, but they offered it to me. And I said, okay, I could do this. So I took the first bite. I said, that does not taste like yogurt. Personalized witness in that. Second bite, I said, Caroline, what is this? Dougie said, her husband, oh, it's beluga eggs. Beluga egg and strawberries. So I kindly finished it off. Finished our meeting. But we made arrangements to meet every Wednesday at 11. So next Wednesday went by. I should say, she did not go back to the hospital that whole week. Next Wednesday went to visit her. Sat down. Dougie came out. I got something for you. Thanks, Dougie. So I ate it. So every time I went to visit them, I could expect beluga eggs and raspberry. But I was witnessing. We developed such a wonderful relationship that if I showed it in front of my Bible, it says, from Caroline and Dougie. This is what personal witness could do. Unexpected gifts from unexpected sources. I should say, too, that within those communities, because they have, they call us Southerners, going in and out so often, that it's hard for them to personally invest or attach emotionally with people, because you come and go all the time. It's always changing. So why should they invest their energy and time in getting to know you? But Caroline, she used to go to church. She goes to church on Sunday. And one Sunday I went to church because there was no Adventist church there. So I went to church to sit down. And Caroline saw me in the back. And at a certain point in the service, she stood up and she said to the community, and you have to understand this now, this is an elder. So an elder voice has weight in the community. If any one of you need help or assistance, go and see Peter at Social Services. Personal witness. You have to understand that social services is not a palatable thing in those communities. They stay far away from social services. But she endorsed that there is someone that you can go and see in social services. Our witness should be like that, that when people are in need, we should be able to point them to Christ. There's someone that's there that is willing to help. Someone is there that's willing to listen. Someone is there that will personalize his relationship with you. Talking about mission, active. We need to be active in our missionary outreach. Does anyone know the sprinter Usain Bolt? Okay. Usain Bolt, the Jamaican sprinter. He's arguably the fastest man in the world. He won 3 gold medals in the 2008 Olympics in China. In 2012, he won the 100 meter and 200 meter race. In 2016, in Rio, he won the 100 meters, the 200 meters, the 4x100. He was the first Olympic sprinter to win 9 gold medals in 3 different Olympics. when Usain Bolt was asked what made him strive for excellence, he said, it's all about consistency. And he also says, I don't think limits. And neither should you. It's all about consistency. I don't think limits, and neither should you. So my question, my brothers and sisters, are we consistent in our devotional life? Are we consistent in our prayer life? And do we have a consistent method of ministering to others? Do we put limits on what God can do for us, in us, and through us? Do we limit the power of the Spirit to manifest through us His blessing to benefit others? This is something that I think about. This is something we should think about. When I say the word church, we are the church. It is often said the church is like a hospital. And I was sharing that with Pastor Matar earlier. It just came to me one day I was driving that we've all heard that a church is like a hospital, correct? The thing though, if you hang around a hospital long enough, you probably will become more sick. You probably become more sick. Now, I would suggest it's the environment that will make you more sick. Because what happened when you're in the hospital, there's not much movement going on. You're sedentary. But then I realized that there's nurses, there's doctors, there's support staff, there's technicians that also work in the hospital, but they're not sick as often. And why is that? Because their immune system. Yes, their immune system. That's right. Pastor G. They're active. They're in motion. They're both in the same environment, but one is sedentary, one is active. So we need to be active in our relationship with God. Because as a church, if we're inactive, then the infection of he said, she said, would start manifesting itself. But if we're actively pursuing our objective, actively ministering to others, as we, as a community, come in unity. As a community, we come in unity together. Then we will grow. We'll develop strength. We'll develop certain attributes that will be a blessing to those who come in contact. So my plea, my brothers and sisters, that we need to petition the throne of God as we ask for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to motivate us. And as He motivates us, Paul quote from Joel, the prophet Joel in Acts chapter 2, he says, and in the last days, God declares that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and my sons and my daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, on my manservant and my maidservant in those days, I will pour out my spirit. So let us ask for the Holy Spirit to be poured out in our frontal lobe, the reasoning, the throne of our minds, to be poured out in our hearts, and to will us into action. You see, change comes when we fall in love with the man of Calvary. Change takes place when we understand that we today can have the victory. Change happens when we're in service for others. Therefore, members, brothers and sisters of the body of Christ, we need to have a church that is structured in a way that members are trained and are working faithfully and sharing the good news. The good news is that we need to be very thoughtful, deliberate, and fluid in our outreach. We need a church that is trained not to be discriminated, not to discriminate against others, but a church that Christ's love is manifested through us. That our eyes will only see God in another, and our eyes will understand that God has died for you, as He's died for me, that He's died for my brother and sister who have not known Him as yet. So this is my prayer, that as a church, we'll recommit ourselves to reaching out for others, both in our homes and in our community. May God richly bless us with the outpouring of His Holy Spirit.